Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It is Dom time. It's been too long since we've heard from Andy McCarthy, and I value his legal opinion. He's prudent, judicious, but direct. That's why you see him so much on Fox News. By the way, with Fox News, got a little update. Yesterday, the host of Outnumbered, which Andy's been featured on many times with great ties, apologized, sort of, and Newt Gingrich kind of fired back over the Soros matter. I'll give you that coming up. But let's go to Andy McCarthy from National Review and Fox News here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Andy, welcome in.
Dom, great to talk to you.
Well, other than you sitting in that seat as Attorney General, Bill Barr will do just fine with me. And, you know, he's being attacked. Here's the angle on him. Doesn't he realize that they said today, I saw a couple pundits, Andy, that Herbert Walker Bush used to revere this guy, speak in reverential tones, and look at what he's sunk to, even suggesting that we use the Insurrection Act around what's going on in cities.
Yeah, I'm kind of puzzled by that, Dom, because I used the seditious conspiracy statute in 1990, I guess it was 1993, and it was done with the endorsement of the Clinton Justice Department because it was a perfect fit for the terrorist activity that was happening in and around New York City at the time, where we had basically jihadists who were deeming themselves at war with the United States, destroying property, targeting government officials and government installations, and doing, you know, pretty much what we're seeing in city after city in the United States today. So, you know, I think the Attorney General was quite right to say that if prosecutors have evidence that you have insurrectionists who are at war with the United States and acting on that in a violent way, they ought to resort to that statute, which is a most misunderstood statute that doesn't even actually have the word sedition in it. It's really all about making war on the United States and using force against the government. So it should be uncontroversial, but I guess nothing is anymore.
And the trigger is, I heard Trey Gowdy last night say this too, the other part of the simple part of the act, Andy, is federal property. You're coming after that. You're targeting that. Well, that's so clear here. I think they're objecting to it, because they want to continue to say the Trump administration, it's Trump's America, why is there all this violence? And yet they don't want that federal government to have any standing to be able to intervene in any way, shape, or form to stop this.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think the other thing is, and you've seen this in the attacks on Attorney General Barr for over a year now, ever since he announced that John Durham would be investigating the Russiagate investigation, and especially as we've gotten closer to the point where he's got to make some final decisions about charges and a report, the left and the Democrats and their friends in the media have practiced character assassination on Attorney General Barr in order to discredit the ultimate report. I think that's, you know, this is the kind of thing that we've seen again and again and again. You can't, they're not going to be able to refute whatever information comes out. So you have to destroy the messenger. And in this instance, what they're trying to do is turn the public perception of Barr into a vat of a political hack, so that whatever report ultimately comes out can be dismissed as just like an adjunct of the Trump campaign.
Yeah, I agree with you. What's your hunch now on Durham? Does he do something before the election? Do we have a report before that? That would seem to be likely, or no?
Well, it certainly would seem to me to be likely. I have never thought, Dom, you and I have talked about this a number of times, I've never thought that there was going to be a big sweeping indictment that captured all of the high-ranking people who were involved in the investigation. I've always thought, and Attorney General Barr has said a number of times, he doesn't want, you know, extravagant, crazy theories that prosecutors use sometimes creatively to try to nab people that they really shouldn't be making cases on. He wants meat and potatoes crimes. And if there aren't those, there aren't going to be charges, which brings you down to a report. I think it's perfectly appropriate for the government to issue a report on government misconduct that happens quite frequently. For the people complaining about it, they ought to be maybe familiarize themselves with something that's known as the Mueller report that they insisted be produced and publicized. But whether it'll happen before the election at this point, I don't know. You get the sense that that Durham has been delayed by COVID, which made it, practically speaking, very difficult to interview a lot of the main witnesses. They're obviously moving toward conclusions because they've charged this guy Kleinsmith, who pled guilty to manipulating a document. And we keep hearing that they're nearing the end, so maybe we'll get something before the election. But I think they're also sensitive to the idea that the closer it gets to the election, the more what they do is going to be panned as a political stunt. So they're obviously mindful of that.
My read is, and you know these guys, you're actually inside, Durham is the one who is very sensitive to that. Barr has had it with this fake outrage, and that's why he made a comment the other day I agreed with pretty much, but pretty provocative for a guy like that, about other than slavery, the lockdown was the greatest deference of taking away our liberties. I read him as he's had it, you know, that they I punched at him when they wouldn't let him go to the bathroom in that hearing. Minor thing, maybe, but it just shows you the level of mob mentality that they can't even pretend to the public that this is fair.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I would say about that, Dom, I think the Attorney General made an excellent point about how suffocating and stifling to individual liberty, which is what our country is supposed to be about, these lockdowns have been. But, you know, unlike Bill Barr, I've been in journalism now for, close to 20 years, when he's been out there doing real work, you know. And I think that those of us who talk to the public, as you do, as I do, as people who are in our sort of profession do, you catch yourself, if you're comparing something to Nazi Germany, or you're comparing something to slavery, or, you know, the great atrocities in the history of mankind, usually you throw some cold water on yourself and say, maybe I should phrase this a different way. So I think if he had it to do over again, I'd be surprised if he'd use slavery as his kind of jumping off point to compare this to. But I think the essential point he was making was absolutely right, which is we've never had a systematic denial of individual liberties in the history of this country like we've had in the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than the only thing you could compare it to would be slavery, even if it's a rhetorical mistake to draw that comparison.
Andy, what's up for you now? What are you engaged in right now? You're writing your Fox News channel. Are you working on another book?
We are going to release in the next, I think it's September 22nd, the paperback edition of Ball of Collusion, where I've written a new foreword that took the investigation up to the point where I had to finally quit and get the thing published. So I think it probably advances the case about a year's worth. And I think happily I'm able to say that I think most of the things I said in the book have, if they were factual assertions, they're even more correct than they were before. And if they were theories, they've been pretty much borne out by the new facts that we've learned. So I'm proud of that, and I'm happy that we'll be able to bring this book out shortly.
Good. So September 22nd, it's out.
Right.
All right. We'll be promoting that and looking for that. Andy, thank you so much, as always. And again, I'm sorry it's been so long, so you're so busy. Hey, what's your insight? What's it like on Fox's Outnumbered? The Gingrich thing, listeners are, wow.
I'm glad you asked me that, because I had a pretty strong view of it when I saw it. And I should preface this down by saying I know Harris Faulkner and Melissa Francis and even Marie Harf, pretty well. And I have talked about the same issues that Speaker Gingrich was talking about, including the progressive prosecutors and Soros's financial backing of them. No one at Fox has ever suggested to me that I needed to tone it down or that anything was, you know, off the table. But I think what's happened, because I've been on a number of these shows, is in the age of COVID, when everybody is in remote areas and remote studios, rather than, you know, that Outnumbered show, the default format of it is that everybody's in the same room and they can all see each other and respond to each other. That gets really hard when you're on remote. You can't see who you're talking to. People are talking over each other. And I think they may have thought that Gingrich said that Soros had sponsored the riots rather than that Soros had sponsored the progressive prosecutors who created the atmosphere of lawlessness. And I think that was the confusion. I don't think there's I could tell you from being on the inside of it, there is no rule at Fox that you can't mention Soros or progressive prosecutors. I've been asked about it a million times. So I just think it was a unfortunate confusion and the kind of thing that in COVID we're having to deal with because of the way things are recorded now.
All right. Well, Andy, thank you for everything. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon. And the book comes out, the paperback edition, this coming Tuesday.
That's right. Thank you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.